Your tongue may be the determining factor in your ultimate destiny. May Allah protect you from Jahannam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever can guarantee to me what's between his lips and what's between his legs, I can guarantee to him Jannah. Because it's dangerous. If you look at marital problems, if you look at problems between blood brothers and Muslims in the community, brothers in the community, and killing, and a lot of stuff, the tongue has a major role that it plays in it. If you're wondering why your iman is weak, one of the first things you got to start is check your tongue out. The biggest source of strengthening your iman is your tongue. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to be good, say good, or remain silent. That's not a haram halal standard. That's a standard above that. We don't speak. It's not a haram halal. We check. Is that good? If it's good, I'm going to say it. If it's not, if it's neutral, I'm going to keep it to myself. Only speak good. Some of the tongue ailments the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to as mubiqat. You know what mubiqat means? Doomers, destroyers. He put some tongue ailments in the same category of mubiqat, like usury, black magic, killing. Like one of them is accusing women in their honor. In al-Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman, the Prophet, when he's in the Kaaba, مَرْحَبًا بِكَ مِنْ بَيْتٍ مَا أَعْظَمَكَ وَأَعْظَمُ حُرْمَتَكَ وَالْمُؤْمِنُ أَعْظَمُ حُرْمَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْكَ. When the Prophet seen the Kaaba, after not seeing it for a long time, a place he loved dearly, Mecca, in the Kaaba, when he looked at it, he talked to the Kaaba, how honorable are you? But the honor and sanctity of a believer is more honorable than you. Then he said, Allah has prohibited the blood in the honor and wealth of the believers. Let me tell those people who have loose, slanderous tongues what this hadith means in a way, probably they never heard it before. In a basic way that they never heard it before. Would anyone curse the Kaaba? You know, everyone holds it sacred. It's beyond the imagination of a Muslim to curse the Kaaba. Would anyone take a sledgehammer and go to the Kaaba and try to take it down? Or take a hammer and chisel and go to the Kaaba and try to take it down and demolish it? That stuff most of the major sinners of this ummah don't even imagine. What would you do if someone cursed or tried to demolish the Kaaba? Okay. Speaking about the honor of a believer is a bigger sin than speaking about the Kaaba or cursing the Kaaba. Taking down the Kaaba stone by stone is a smaller sin than killing a believer. The honor, the sanctity of a Muslim is big to Allah's eyes and the righteous believers. Does anyone really think that when he stands before Allah on the judgment day, he gets asked, why did you say this about your brother? And you have the opportunity to defend yourself then. Why did you say this about your sister? Why did you say this about those people, those righteous people? That brother that was in prison, those people who are defending the ummah. Why'd you say that about them? Oh, Allah, you get the opportunity to answer. Oh, Allah, I found it on Google. I ask you by Allah, is that going to stand before Allah? That doesn't even stand in the most oppressive of man-made courts today to stand before the court of Allam al-Ghuyub, al-Hakam al-Adil. I found it on a forum or on a Twitter, so I went passing it along. Is that a defense you can put before Allah? Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad said, I know some of my friends who would remain silent from a Friday to a Friday. Meaning from Friday to Friday, they wouldn't say nothing but some Quran and dhikr and ibadah. They protect their tongues. Abu Na'im and Ibn Abi Dunya narrated that Ibn Abbas spoke to his tongue. He told his tongue, speak good, you'll succeed. Otherwise, you'll regret it. Ibn Abbas warning his tongue, reminding himself that this is a dangerous muscle. He said, it reached me, this is Ibn Abbas, that there's no bigger enemy to one than his own tongue on the judgment day. Let your example be the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 10 years, Anas ibn Malik says, 10 years he served him. And you know how you deal with a serve, that's how you really know someone, when you live with them, when you act with them. 10 years, he never said off. You know how even Anas said, sometimes he didn't do stuff the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to do. He never even said off, never yelled at him, never screamed at him, never cursed him. Get in the habit of contemplating what you say before you utter it. Al-Hasan al-Basri said, one who doesn't restrain his tongue doesn't know his deen. Whatever words you have, they're your prisoner. You've got them as a prisoner. You got control over them. Feel good that they're your prisoner. Once you let them out, you're their prisoner. You've become a prisoner to them. Now you got to handle their consequences in this dunya and before Allah. You find someone who's willing to leave drinking. Many. Leaving adultery, fornication, that's nothing to them. They'll do that. Usury. But the tongue, they can't restrain it. عن أبي سعيد الخدري The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إذا أصبح ابن آدم أصبحت الأعضاء كلها تكفر اللسان تقول اتق الله فينا فإن استقمت استقمنا وإن اعوججت اعوججنا. This hadith, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when you wake up, the limbs tell the tongue, fear Allah in us. The limbs tell the tongue, fear Allah in us. If you do good, we'll be in good status. You do bad, we're going to be bad. They're going to fry because of the tongue. Amazing to see how many would never go near major sins. Yet they unleash their tongues on the believers day and night. People you look at, you say, Allahumma barak. The miswak in the mouth, the long beard, the beautiful hijab, the masjid in and out, umrah every other day, hajj every other day. All that hard work, they're trying to donate it for people by their what they do in their tongues. الطبراني الأوسط narrated a hadith عن البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنه الربا 73 بابا أيسرها مثل أن ينكح الرجل أمة وإن أربى الربا عرض الرجل المسلم. المستدرك الحاكم said this is in accordance with the Bukhari and Muslim. I know some scholars said it's weak, but I believe it's authentic. The riba is 73 sections, or in another narration, 72. The least of it in sins is relationship with is similar to one having relationship, sexual relationship with his mother. Listen, please listen. Riba is 72 or 73 levels, categories. The least of it is equivalent in sins to one having sexual relationship with his mom. And the worst form of riba is one dishonor in a Muslim. What's worse than that? What do you mean? O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, explain. Meaning that one who has sex with his mom is less of a sin than dishonor in a Muslim. The usury is less than a sin than dishonor in a Muslim. A lesson for those who call themselves refuters, and the modernists who have the whispers of the devils, and the masses of the ummah are ignorant in this matter. Be careful with your tongue, because most of the punishment in Jahannam is from it. Be careful of the tongue, because most of the punishment in your grave is from it. You don't want that. Wallah, you don't want that. You don't want that punishment in the grave. The tongue, the ghiba. Sometimes you tell someone, stop talking about that sister. Stop talking about that brother. But brother, it's true. It's on the internet. Go ask her ex-boyfriend. Go ask her ex-fiance. Go ask the local imam. Go ask the community. Let's assume for our purpose that what you're saying is true. We're not arguing that. That's exactly what we're talking about. Those hadith, that's ghiba. You got no business talking about it. It's a major sin when it's true. Now, if it's not true, okay, that's called buhtan. That's another tongue ailment. Each one of these is ailments, like I said, you can talk about for halaqat. Some sit and speak about their brothers and fill their stomach with the flesh of their brothers. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا? Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? After a hefty feast on Muslim's flesh, one goes to the masjid, makes salah or does umrah, and then after that he thinks he's going to sleep in his grave like a bride or like a he or she are going to sleep in their grave like a bride or bridegroom. After the Prophet ﷺ passed by a grave, he said a man in that grave is being punished. And he's being punished because of something that his tongue said. Some justify it and say, well, I'll go say it to his face. You go say it to his face, then you went from one sin to another. You moved from backbiting to harming your brother. You want to go to his face and tell him in wisdom, in kindness, in advice, being a mirror to your brother, go do that. That's Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahi al Munkar. We want you to do that. Go tell him that's wrong, brother. You can't do that. And try to guide him and help him or tell those he'll listen to. Let's assume a brother did fornication or adultery. Who are you to talk about it or repeat it? Who are you to confront him unless it is to make nasiha and advice? Are you the Khalifa? We got a Khalifa? You got a Khalifa? You can go to the Khalifa so the Khalifa can lash him. Otherwise, that's it. You don't mention it. If you're raising the matter to the Khalifa, go ahead. If you're giving him advice, go ahead. One needs to either advise him in a kind way, in a sincere way, or put a lid on it. Once we get the Khalifa, then you tell the Khalifa will do what he has to do. Among the reasons harming a Muslim with a tongue is a big deal is because it's among the most hurtful things, one of the most hurtful things to Muslim brothers and sisters. It gets many depressed and agonized for days and weeks, sometimes for a lifetime. But today, not only do I want to talk about those who do that gossiping and talking and backbiting and lying and slandering, but I want you to be happy if you're on the receiving end. Giggle when you hear someone talk about you. Smile, be happy. Can you imagine all the freebie rewards you get out of the person who slandered you? And all the sins you're going to put on him? Deeds you never worked for? Deeds you never expected? That's why the Prophet called them bankrupt. They got a lot of deeds, but they're going to give it to you. And not only are they going to give it to you, your sins are going to pile on him. Remember we spoke in the Tawheed class on Qantara? After all the obstacles, after the Sirat, right when your foot is going to be on the front steps of Jannah, you got to go to a deter. Those who have disputes among each other, they got to go to Al-Qantara, settle the disputes before they enter Jannah. Some get their deeds lowered, some get their deeds higher. When they told the Fudayl ibn Iyad, someone complained to him, said, someone's talking bad about me. He said, he's pouring good on you, he's pouring deeds on you. How many times have we spoken on this matter, this subject, and khutbah and durus, and someone comes, wallah, Shaykh, I needed to hear that. It agonizes the believers. This is the matter. That's why it's so big of a sin. From now on, you on the receiving end, be happy. If you're spoken about, don't be depressed. Don't be sad. You know that Laylatul Qadr, that person stayed up all night in fasting, and at nighttime he prayed? You get that Laylatul Qadr out of him. Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi said such stunning words. He said, if I did not hate that Allah be disobeyed on this earth, I would love for people to talk about me, and gossip about me, and slander me. What? If I did not hate Allah gets disobeyed on this earth, I would love for people to talk about me, slander me. What's better than getting deeds you never expected when you're standing before Allah? Your ummah wouldn't give you those deeds. I still remember a setting in 1994. I won't forget it. When I read it for the first time in Fayd al-Qadir lil-Mannawi, in the third volume, I still remember the year and the setting because it brings happiness to your heart. Al-Hasan al-Basri heard someone talking about him. He went to the market and brought some dates. Why Hasan al-Basri? Someone's talking about, he's slandering you, he's backbiting you. Why you go take him dates? The man asked him the question. He said, I'm going to give you, you gave me your deeds, I'm going to give you something in return. I'm going to add to that. Al-Hasan al-Basri should have told him, and what you gave me is nothing compared to what I gave you.